This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.
The final seconds are going to tick down. And so, for the second time in a Game 7 in Boston, a huge third period by the Bruins spells defeat for the Maple Leafs.
Personally, I got to be better. It's a lot of this game's on me, and it's just not good enough.
Bottom line is, we went out for the third period, and they scored, and we didn't. And once they scored, they tilted the rink.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Well, that pro line ticket went up in flames pretty quickly last night.
I took it to another level. My buddy, the guy, my guy, we did it on our own with his guy for a larger amount.
You went with the four pack?
I think it was a three. They wouldn't let one of them in.
It was the Raptors. That's the best part about it. The one game you couldn't bet on last night was the game that actually worked out for Toronto.
Didn't matter. It's up in flames.
Yeah, it went up in flames. It went up in flames big time last night. Last night was one of the more heartbreaking, soul-crushing sports experiences I've had here in Toronto. And I think I can speak for everybody in the city. I mean, especially Leaf fans. That one sucked. That was really tough last night.
I don't know if you felt this way, but I was waiting for it for some reason. I couldn't predict it. I didn't know it was going to happen. But I'm thinking, is this team going to collapse and let this happen again? And it just, it was like it happened. It was like a bad goal, a bad play. And then, as Babcock said, we just stopped playing. We couldn't.
That game was over when Torrey Krug scored. When he tied that game up, it was over. Just like when, in 2013, they scored to tie it and going into overtime, the Maple Leafs had a 0.00% chance of winning in overtime. 0% in 2013. There was no
just
chance.
The fashion it went in, and
you just knew it. The ice had been tilted. The Leafs had been they were done. They were packing their bags. They knew they were out. And I think the same thing happened last night when Krug scored that goal. I think their team looked back on Freddie Anderson and said he doesn't have it. The Leafs didn't have it. The ice tilted really quickly. And I know there was still a lot of time left, and it was only tied, and DeBrusque didn't score for another 4 or 5 minutes or whatever it was, but that set the tone for the third period. And I didn't have that same experience you did. And maybe it's because I'm naive. Maybe it's because I want to believe that this team is different. And I do think they will be different in the future. They're still really young. They're really talented. We got all afternoon, all offseason to talk about where they're going in the future. But I think this is what hurts if you're a Leaf fan, is that in between the second and third, you started to believe they were actually going to win. And then you feel like, you kind of feel,
can they bear down and take that next step and say we're going to do this and not let it happen?
And then you feel silly when it doesn't happen because you're like, of course not.
That's kind of...
Of course not. Of course the Leafs can't do that.
That is the bunch of the feelings I had. Is this going to happen? Can they... I don't know. You're hoping, wishing, and then ultimately saw what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not as bad as the 4-1 loss up 4-1 lead with 11 minutes to go and you choked that away. But make no mistake, if we're being honest, the third period was a choke job. That's a choke job. They got smoked in the third. Smoked. They lost 4-0 in the biggest period of the season. They're up 4-3 going into it. They couldn't get anything going. And it was ugly. And it was disappointing. It doesn't mean you panic if you're in the front office. Doesn't mean that you change the whole team or that they're not still moving in the right direction, because I believe that they are. They still had a great regular season. Someone had to lose a really difficult series. Boston's a really good team. They didn't lose to some donkey team that they should have beaten in four. They lost to a really good team in their building in seven games. Technically, they improved on what they did a year ago, where they went out in six. They went out in seven this year.
The way it went down, though, in the third period, you have to look forward to next year and think, if they want to really take next year seriously, because Tampa Bay, Boston, they're not going anywhere.
Well, that's an important point to make. Just because we here in Toronto, and I think the hockey world agrees and believes, the Leafs are in a really good spot, have a lot of really good young talent, have a good goaltender regardless of what may happen at times during this series, and we'll talk about Freddie Anderson, have a good coach, have solid management. Boston's loaded too, and they're not going anywhere. Tampa is loaded too. They're not going anywhere. And there's a good chance at some point, at least one of the five other teams within the division
take a step.
They're gonna figure something out. I don't know who it is. I don't know when it's gonna be. But the Atlantic Division is not gonna just take a step aside so that the Maple Leafs can take over the throne and win a Stanley Cup for the first time in 50 years because the fans really want to believe that that's the case. That's not reality.
But if you're going to design your team, you got to be thinking, if we are what we are next year, we could be playing Boston again first round next year.
Absolutely. That could happen. There's a very good chance it's going to happen.
And I don't think you ever design your team or your personnel just thinking, oh, we got to play Boston, because that's foolish. But you got to make some adjustments and some changes. I said last night, they have to totally restructure that defensive core, because that in itself will take the load off of Freddie and the shots against and all of that stuff. Because we talked about it all year, and Jamie harped on it all year, the way they defend in their own zone. It's not good enough.
No, it's not good enough.
It's not even close.
They have to, I think, add at least one defenseman, and if it's only one, it's got to be a high-end guy, if not multiple defensemen.
I think multiple, Brian.
I think more than likely multiple, too. But I would caution that Mike Babcock has said at times this year he believes their defense corps is better than people give it credit for. That may be a precursor for what to expect this upcoming summer. I know people are going crazy today and saying you have to get rid of Gardner. Pollock's got to go. Zaitsev was brutal this year. Hainsey, they've sucked up everything they possibly could. His gas tank is empty. They're not going to react that way. And as emotional as Leaf fans are today, you don't want the front office to react that way.
No.
You do not want David Clarkson 2.0 because of one series or one game or one period. And I heard you guys on SportsCenter last night, and Bobby Mack brought up a good point, and it's a relevant point, and it's an accurate point, that there's no guarantees next year everything's going to work out for him. And he used the Edmonton Oilers from a year ago as basically an example of that. This time last year, the Oilers were the favorite to win the Cup. They had the young guys. They were all moving in the right direction. They got to the second round of the playoffs.
David's the MVP.
Everything. And it fell apart. Here's why I don't think that happens in Toronto the way it happened in Edmonton.
But before you get to your point, I just want to let you know, making changes on their decor are one thing, but one of their biggest strengths this year was their depth. And regardless of what you think of JVR as just an opportunistic player, a power play specialist, that's 35 goals.
Is
Johnson
going to
step in there and score 35 goals?
Probably
I don't know.
Not.
Is it happening? I don't know.
No, probably
Tyler
not.
Bozak had his struggles this year, but you know what? He's on the first power play unit. He's a reliable third-line center. And for those that don't like him, he is going to cash in this summer.
I don't think he's going to cash in. I don't think Bozak's cashing in at all.
There's a lot of hockey people that think that the value of a third-line centerman is around $5 million and someone's going to pay him.
Well, if someone pays him $5 million, then go. So be it. Good for Bozak. Take it.
I agree.
But there isn't a chance in hell, if you're running a competent team and organization, you're paying Tyler Bozak $5 million a
no
year.
No kidding, but
that's
all
crazy.
It takes is one.
That's right. That's fine. Go
and
ahead.
I'm just relaying information that was told to me.
I hear you. I'm not buying it. I actually think there's a chance Bozak returns, because I don't think there's a market for him. And they may look at it and say, he's a depth center. We'll give you, $3 million a year, $4 million a year, something like that. Maybe a year or two. I think there's a chance that happens. Someone's going to give him 3-4 years of $5 million a year. See you later. They'll find it somewhere else. JVR, you can't pay big money in big term for a guy who doesn't play that well 5-on-5. And, adds to the power play. He chips in goals, I get it. But that money's going somewhere else. But the point I'm trying to make here is the difference between, I think, this front office and Edmonton's front office is why I don't believe the Leafs are going to overreact and do something stupid here. I think Shanahan, Lamoriello, Dubas, Hunter, Babcock have proven they've made the right move 9 times out of 10. Chiarelli made all the wrong moves. Chiarelli did overreact and do crazy things recently. I don't think the Leafs are going to do that. And I know that's not going to calm people in the city today. People want blood. People want craziness to happen. And there's all this chatter about a rift between Matthews and Babcock now. And I heard some guy call in on Scotty Mack's show and just out of thin air, Matthews apparently doesn't want to play here anymore. Based on nothing. It's just the inferiority complex that we hold here in Toronto.
I think Brian Burke said it best. People love building up here, and they also love smashing the statue down. It's like, just chill out, everyone.
Exactly.
There's been the milk carton pictures all over social media. Like, it just really...
You're going to turn on Matthews? He didn't have a great series.
No, he didn't.
There's no denying that. No. He did not have a great series.
But I also said it last night. Well, they have to figure out what they want to do with him. Did he play? He didn't play that well in this series. Patrice Bergeron, he is he's a Hall of Fame player. 7 years in a row he's been up for the Selke. Who does he go out with every shift he takes the ice? David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand. All-star players. That's a nice luxury. You put Patrice Bergeron with Heinen and Corrali, do you think he's going to be Patrice Bergeron?
Defensively, he would be. Offensively, no, of course not.
Exactly. So all those people that think Austin Matthews a dog, he did not play well. But think if it was Mitch Marner and some, they got to think about that stuff.
Well, think about the case that he has. If you look over his season this year, now he had injury problems. He missed 20 games. But if you prorate his stats, played 62 games, you prorate that over 82 games, he was on pace for about 45 goals and about 85 points. Those are massive, massive statistics.
I know, but do you know how much anybody involved, whether it be Brendan Shanahan, a fan, or you, care about that when it comes to the playoffs?
No, of course not. This is a separate point I'm talking about, though, in terms of his overall role and the impact he's going to have on the team. He was second on the power play, second power play unit all year. I looked up his stats today. During the regular season, 38th in the NHL among centers for ice time per game. 38th in the league. So if he got the amount of minutes that Kopitar, Barkov, McDavid
got... Where was Bergeron?
Bergeron's much higher than that.
Yeah.
Of course he is. So Matthews, they still sheltered him, and he still performed. In the playoffs, he didn't play the way he's capable of playing. With high expectations comes criticism if you don't follow through. He's a big boy. He can accept it. No one's running him out of town for just calling a spade. He didn't play well enough. And I don't blame Babcock for playing Mitch Marner's line more than Matthews, because that line played really well.
Yeah, they were creating opportunities.
Absolutely. So, like, Babcock's got a responsibility to the whole team, not one individual player. Believe me, he would have loved to have played Matthews more or put him in better positions if he felt that he was coming through for him, but he didn't really. Now, were there times where you could look at it and suggest maybe he should have got an extra shift here, extra shift there? Yes, of course you could do that. And I think that happened last night. I thought Matthews had a great first period. In the second period, there were times where I was waiting for him to get back on the ice, and Babcock decided to put Bozak's line out to match a line, or Kadri came over the boards to match a line. That's where philosophically I would disagree with Babcock, but he's stubborn. He's got his ways. This is the way he does his business. But Matthews did not have a very good round. That doesn't change who he is as a player and what he's going to be in the future. And when we keep talking now about the next page here in the next chapter, we look towards the offseason. That contract negotiation is going to be a topic of discussion for months.
Massive. All three of them.
Absolutely. And if you look at it simply from the playoffs and down the stretch, Marner gained leverage, Matthews and Nylander lost leverage. Mm-hmm. But Matthews has always been a different beast, and Matthews is getting the 8-year deal at big time money. That's what he's getting. It doesn't matter what just happened for 7 games. He's getting 8 years if he's willing to take it, because they're going to offer it. They'd be stupid not to. And he's getting somewhere between $10 and $13 million a year. And that's where the business side comes into play. And if you're a Leaf fan, as much as you love Matthews, you got to be rooting for the Leafs to win the negotiation, because every single dollar counts.
Yeah, but if you're a guy like Mitch Marner, aren't you saying... Well, let's just say he signs for the Eichel deal. It's 80 or 10 a year.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Mitch Marner right now, what are you saying as far as you're comparable to him? As far as if you want to just go, forget about league-wide comparables. What about the comparables just in that team? Because I think there's some agents that operate like that. What does he do for your team? Forget about Joe Blow and the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning. What's he do for you? And this kid's got an ego. He thinks he's great. He is great. I'm sure he's not going to say he's not a $5 million player better than me.
No, he's not. Of course not. But this is where you've been in those rooms. It's business. It can be ruthless. They hold things against you. Matthews has a bigger impact on the city in terms of the amount of jerseys get sold, the amount of money that they make off his name, all that kind of stuff factors in. That's what the agents bring in. He plays a more prominent position, a more important position. Matthews had a down playoff this year. Marner had a down playoff last year. Like, I love Mitch Marner. I love the way he played down the stretch and into the playoffs, but Matthews is still the man on this team. And I think Marner can understand that. He's going to try to get every penny he can, and I would too if I was in his position. I think what has become clear to me is William Nylander is looking at a bridge deal of all three of these guys. He's looking at a 2 or 3 year bridge deal, show me type deal. Let's see if you keep improving in different areas where we want to see you improve.
And that sucks for him.
It does, but he's third in line. Like, it's Matthews 1, Marner 2, Nylander 3. It probably always has been, and I think it's been defined that way this season. But last night was tough, man. And I think the reactions have been predictable. The reactions have been emotional. Jake Gardner's taken a lot of heat today. Freddie Anderson taking a lot of heat today, and deservedly so. They both played really poorly last night. Like, there's no sugarcoating that.
Yeah, that was a tough night for Jake Gardner. It's like in one game, and he's a confident player. He has the puck. He wants the puck, but he just, there was no urgency or intensity. And when you lose your confidence, you look like you're lost out there. And on numerous occasions, he did. It was a tough night.
Yeah, that's one of the worst big game performances you'll ever see.
That's it, yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yeah.
Like, he's a polarizing guy anyway.
Took it like a big boy. Like, he just
said, owned it, man. I give him a lot of credit. Tons of credit.
Did Austin Matthews decide not to speak with
him? No, he spoke.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he spoke. He doesn't say much. You know how he is. I mean, what he says to the media is irrelevant anyway. He's not a rah-rah, look into the camera and go crazy type of guy. But he spoke. Freddie Anderson spoke. And Freddie didn't play well enough last night. And he's the last line of defense, and I know some people have made the argument the only reason they were in that position was because of him, but that doesn't let you off the hook for playing that poorly.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened last night in the third. That Torrey Krug goal cannot go in, and the Jake DeBrusk goal cannot go in. Those are two awful goals in the biggest moments of your season.
To sum it up, Mike Babcock said this is a great opportunity for one of these guys to make a name for themselves and really make a statement and do it. Patrick Marleau started out that way, 2 goals in the first period, and then nobody really seized the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Kapanen did, because he got the go-ahead goal, and you're thinking, this is his Borshevsky moment. That was the goal that won the game.
Yeah.
And then it just went to you-know-what after that.
Well, that's the truth, and that's where it gets back to where my mentality was in between the second and third. I'm trying to think of it glass half full, even though Leaf fans have been so scarred so many times in the past and have been placed in a position where they kind of expect the worst thing to happen.
Well, Ray Ferraro tweeted out, like, you should be shooting everything on Tuukka Rask right now.
Rask was brutal last night.
No kidding. He was there for the taking. And after they scored the 4-3 goal, they didn't get any shots on net. They stopped playing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, even though I'm programmed to think this is going to go south, there was a part of me that was thinking, you know what? All you need is Freddie Anderson to give you 20 minutes. He's going to have to stop a wave or two.
Well,
the Bruins are going to come out.
You saw the difference in the killer instinct, though. Did you see the way Boston, after they knew that it was start, they was just like, goodbye, you're done.
Right. But what's frustrating about that is, because a lot of people are like, wow, the Leafs are kids. Jake DeBrusk is a rookie.
Yeah. Or was it killer instinct, or was it the Leafs saying, well,
I think it was the Leafs. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, as much as, listen, the Bruins played really well throughout the series. From games 1 through 7, you review the tape, Boston was the better team.
The bottom line, the inability to stop that top line, the games they won, the damage they did was no answer.
But they weren't in that position. Again, going into the third period, you're up a goal. It's not as if Marchand had a hat trick and they were up 6-1 going into the third.
No, but I know. But you look at the stat line after the game. Bergeron scored. Pasternak scored. Marchand got the empty netter. It's like, they're on the sheet.
Phone lines are open. It feels like a phone call kind of day.
Yeah.
416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. We're open throughout the hour. We'll slide in a couple of calls. Your take on the game last night. Where is your mind at? Where is your mentality at going into this offseason? It's a bummer that we're in this position, because they could be gearing up for Tampa game 1 on Saturday, and as we know, that is not happening. And it's not the exact same script that was written 5 years ago, but it's a similar feeling today. It's not as significant of a choke job. Like in 2013, that was historic. We had never seen that before. I hope nobody has to go through that again. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But last night, that third period, that was bad. That was ugly. 416-870-1050. Text us 105050 with your name. Email us live at tsn1050.ca on Twitter at HaysTSN.
Yeah, and if you want to be a turkey, we're hanging up.
Yeah, I'm not in the mood for stupidity, but just, you know, give us your takes, how you feel about what happened last night, how you feel about the team in general. We're open for the hour. Ray's coming up. Dreg's in studio. We got the NFL draft tonight. The Raptors did win last night. We'll catch up with Sam Mitchell, get his take on what went down there. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Big Chris texting in. Big Chris from Burlington. Yeah, the third period was disappointing, but the most talented team won, or the best team throughout the series won. Leafs missed a golden opportunity. However, I believe ever since the Matthews draft, the Leafs will compete for a cup in 2020. It's only been a couple of years. Next year is a critical one to keep moving forward. I agree with that last part for sure. I mean, they can't take a step back now. You know, like you look at the Oilers, and they made the playoffs a couple of years ago. That was the first time they made the playoffs. In year two of that, they took the step back, which would be this year. But if the Leafs this year took a step back, it would be hugely disappointing. But you'd almost be like, okay, I could see that. Everything,
still young.
Everything worked perfectly for them the first year they got in, and then they just missed. That didn't happen. They improved in year two. So if you make that statement in year two that you're better than you were the year before, then the expectations are going to stay really high. I mean, they've got to be a playoff team next year, and I would think going into the playoffs next year, depending on where they are with their lineup and injuries and all that kind of stuff, the expectations will be it's time to start winning playoff rounds. I don't know if we're going to be in a position where people are going to be thinking cup or bust, or that the Stanley Cup is a reality, but I thought they could make a run this year. They were a top 7 or 8 team consistently all year.
Yeah.
Did they have some flaws? Yes, but every team has a flaw or two. They ran into a really good Bruins team. It went to 7. We saw what happened last night. But they make a couple of moves here, and they do have to make a couple of moves, and we'll talk about that. But there's no reason why they can't be in a similar position next year, and at that point, the expectations have to continue to grow, have to keep rising. 416-870-1050. We've got Mario up in North York. What's up, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? Longtime fan of the show.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, this whole series, I had my expectations kind of kept in check, just because, you know, it wasn't that long ago what happened in 2013. But I'm just surprised that the narrative stayed exactly the same, even though it's just kind of comical. Like, the hockey gods must really hate us for it to turn out the same way, where they looked hapless, then they battled back, they made it competitive, and then ultimately in the end, they got them on the ropes, and then for whatever reason, things just collapsed. Like, I think the moment that I lost my I sort of like had that moment of suspension of disbelief was that Kapanen goal was absolutely electric.
Right.
So I think that was when I went, oh my God, like, we could actually do this.
That's when it felt right. That's when it did feel like, because he battled with Marchand. He embarrassed Marchand on that play, really.
And I think it was shortly after he took a gesture at the bench, and then Kapanen, when he scored, it seemed like he kind of looked almost at the Bruins bench and looked at them a little bit, and it was kind of like it really fired me up seeing that. Like, I love that that spirit about him. But ultimately, in the end, we just, you know, as you were reading that tweet before, you know, the better team won, and if any comfort is taken out of this, is they definitely put a scare into the Bruins, which is already a respectful accomplishment in and of itself, and I really do think that in the offseason, I'm hopeful that they're gonna get Drew Doughty somehow.
Well, I wouldn't hold your breath on that, Mario.
The LA Kings are going to make sure Drew Doughty stays in.
Doughty's not going anywhere.
You know, probably win another Norris Trophy this year.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here. I'm not going into the offseason thinking Doughty or Erik Karlsson or anything like that is going to happen.
There's only one way that Drew Doughty becomes available in any way, if he doesn't want to go back and play for the LA Kings.
It's free agency.
Yeah,
yeah.
If he doesn't think that team, he said, "I want to compete and I want to win cups."
And he loves being in L.A. Why would you not love being there? He's been there his whole career. He's won multiple cups. I'm not holding my breath on Doughty. I don't see that happening. But as for your mentality, your very jaded stance about being a Leaf fan, I hear you, man. It's almost like, what happened? Like, how did this team get hexed? Like, was it the way we ran Sundin out of town to an extent? Was it something about the lockout, the way that they traded first round picks? Was it Harold Ballard? Like, what happened?
Was it Phil?
Maybe it was Phil, the way Phil got ran out of town. What happened with the hockey gods? How did we piss them off this much that they could do this twice in 5 years? Same building, Bruins, game seven, yeah. same experience. Like, it's crazy. 416-870-1050. We'll keep sliding in some calls throughout the afternoon. Your take on what happened last night and where you're at going into what should be a very eventful offseason. They don't have to move heaven and earth, but they've got to make some improvements. We know that. We'll get back to your phone calls and your feedback in 2 minutes. We got a text here from Steve in London. The Leafs finally have a young team with potential, something Leaf fans have wanted for years, and now that they finally have it, some fans cannot handle some growing pains. There's truth in that. I mean, we have been waiting for this for the longest time. Bottom out, reload with young players, win the lottery if you're lucky enough to, develop, take your time. It's very difficult, though, when you're in the moment.
That is a reasonable point. It's like Austin Matthews has been talked a lot about in the last 24 hours. He is 20 years old. He's in year two. Connor McDavid doesn't have a Stanley Cup either. So chill out.
Well, I would say chill out with Matthews for sure.
That's what I'm talking about.
For sure. I mean, listen, he had a down series. There's no sugarcoating that. There's no dancing around it. He would be the first one, I'm sure, to tell you that. And I think Babcock kind of danced around it and passive-aggressively called him out post-game last night, too, where he said, you know, ask him in a couple of days, but yeah,
and
you got to elevate
your game.
Coaches
know, by the way. That's the coach's way of doing the player a favor and not ripping them publicly. Excuse me. When they ask about the goals on Freddie Anderson, he's like, you know, I'd have to look at the you don't need to. Coaches know how everything
he knows.
Happens.
They stand Anderson
on the bench and they say to each other, how the hell did that go in?
Yeah, of course. Anderson, everyone knows Anderson didn't play well last
night. That's right. I have to look at it. No, you don't. You know exactly what happened. You just chose to, and I respect that. Discuss it amongst yourself when you're meeting with the players.
But these are two separate conversations. Like, big picture, yeah, we've been waiting for this for a long time. They're still moving in a much better direction than they have been at any point in the past 10 or 15 years. And I still believe in their program. I still believe in their plan. And I believe that they are going to win in the future. Can I guarantee a Stanley Cup? Of course not. But are they going to win rounds at some point in the next couple of years? Yes. But also look at last night and be like, that was a kick in the junk. That sucked, and they had an opportunity, and they're still a very good team. Like, this was the difference between this series in 2013. That 2013 team caught lightning in a bottle in a shortened year. They weren't that good.
Yeah,
that Boston team was way better. This Leaf team is good. Believing that they could have won that series was not outlandish.
And I know a goon Bruins fan. You just sent me a text. I think it was a fan or someone that just called in, or you might have said it, that the Leafs never scared the Bruins. I'm pretty sure when the Leafs were up 4-3, they got the Bruins thinking.
I would hope so. I mean, they're athletes. They're humans. You're down 4-3 at home. You're up 2-0 and 3-1 in the series, for sure. 416-870-1050. Let's get to Corey up next. What's up, Corey?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
All right, I'd like to start off, huge fan of the show. You guys are a bunch of beauties.
Thanks,
absolutely,
man.
Love listening to you. As for my comments, I mean, watching the game yesterday, it's a roller coaster, but that's what it is to be a Leafs fan. You got a young team coming out, and let's, you know, the top line of the Bruins, they are a great line, but a lot of veterans outside of Pasternak, these guys have been around the league for a long time. A great stepping stone, definitely a learning curve. I'd just like to get your guys' opinion on the guys like Bozak and Komarov, Gardner, things like that. People are all about getting rid of them, but, you know, Bozak, you let him go, now you got to try and find a third-line center. If you can get him for the right money, why not? Jake Gardner, same thing. I mean, personally, I'm not a big fan. As you know, he's very polarizing. But you get rid of him, you got to get a defenseman back. 50-plus points, you got to try and find. Second power play unit, are you looking for Dermott to take that step? And guys like Komarov, are you looking for Grubstrom to come in? And then you got to deal with a rookie. Anyway, that's all I got. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Corey. Yeah, I think on
it's a valid point. If you, it's great to say we got to let our UFAs walk. JVR, Bozak, Komarov, but they were pretty important pieces that helped the depth and helped that gave them that strength of being four lines deep throughout the year.
Well, they're all in very different situations, though. Komarov's at the end of the road. for what he is, and he's a fourth line winger. The bringing him back or not bringing him back is really not going to change much in terms of what they do next season.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to bring him back. But
Bozak being a faceoff guy and JVR scoring 35 goals, that's something.
JVR's got a legitimate case for making big money and getting a big deal.
Yes.
Like, he's totally different than these other guys.
Yes.
JVR, it's not that you don't want him to return. I think everyone would admit it would be ideal if you could bring him back. But
he's
you can't
like the
pay
New Jersey
everybody.
Devils that would love to have a hometown kid, another scoring threat up front. The Florida Panthers lost Riley Smith. They lost Marchessault. They need to add some scoring depth.
And they have money to do so. The Leafs are not going to have that kind of money.
Those are going to be teams that are going to be looking at JVR.
Exactly. The money's going to go to Matthews, Marner, Nylander. Like, those are the guys who are going to get paid.
If you watch Chicago throughout all those years, they picked the guys they were going to pay, and everything else is a rotating cycle of different role players to fit into those roles.
And that's why it's important for them to continue to focus on the draft, and they got to keep hitting it. Because you look at Boston last night, like, the big difference between these two teams, Bergeron's been in the league for a long time. He's won cups. He knows how to get it done. Matthews is the equivalent on the Leafs side of things. He doesn't. Brad Marchand has won a cup. He's been to multiple cup finals. Mitch Marner doesn't know that. They have guys that have been there and done that, like Bergeron, like Krejci, like Chara, Marchand. They brought in Backes. They brought in Rick Nash. They have Rask.
And the Leafs can't guarantee that. They have to. Those players have to do that.
They have to do that. But the point I'm making is, even after the Bruins had that kind of success, they took Pasternak in the 20s. They took McAvoy in the teens. They took Louis DeBrusque like 13th or 14th overall. Jake DeBrusque, 13th or 14th overall. Like, they brought in guys like Corrali. They brought in guys like Danton Heinen.
Yeah.
And they did so. They didn't do it with top five picks. They did it with picks in the teens and the 20s and the second and third and fourth round, which is where the Leafs are going to be going forward. So as these young guys grow, they got to make sure they supplant them with guys that they still pick and develop. And Jake Gardner is a very different conversation because he's not a UFA. I believe he has one more year left on his deal. And as much as I didn't like the way he played last night, nobody on earth would like the way he played last night. That's one of the worst big game performances you'll ever see. They cannot panic and act as if they're piss-drunk fantasy players and throw them on waivers because of one bad game. I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know if people are going to give him the Larry Murphy treatment next year. They might. There's a lot of people that are being ruthless towards Jake Gardner right now. He's taking a lot of heat. But you do not want Shanahan and Lamorello or whoever's running the operation to think that way or to act that way. If they feel like he is better than any other option they can get, guess what? You got to bring Gardner back. You may not want to hear it today, but what do you want? What do you want to bring some, you know, Corbinian Holzer back? You think he's any better? Or some other guy who's going to be? Mike Green's available via free agency. You think he's any better?
They sit in a boardroom and they'll have a simple question. Can we ever win with this guy playing 25 minutes a night for us?
That's a different conversation. Because
well, that's a conversation that needs to be had. The way he thinks about hockey and the way he plays hockey, can this organization, with him being one of our 25-minute a night defensemen, win?
But the reason why that's different for me is, that's on them for playing him 25 minutes. If you can play him 18 minutes, maybe he can really help you.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to play 25 because
no one else can.
They don't have anybody else. They got Ron Hainsey and Pollock and Dermott and Zaitsev. They don't have guys that can play more. 416-870-1050. Let's get to Mike. Mike is up next. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Great show. Love the topic, too. I think Leaf fans have just got to settle down. It's still part of the plan, and I know the Leaf brass is probably a little disappointed, but I think maybe secretly in some of the back rooms they're saying, now we know the deficiencies, and the fans should see some of the deficiencies. We just got to fill those gaps and replace them, as you just said, with players if they're better. If not, we'll keep developing these guys. They seem to have a deer in the headlights playoff-type round. And I think O-Dog said it. Playoffs is a whole different animal than regular season. And it showed last night and throughout the series.
It certainly did. I mean, they had their moments throughout the series. They got it to seven. I mean, let's not pretend like they got swept.
Yeah, they showed some balls and passion and came back and got their attention. And they took the lead last night. But at the end of the day, they didn't get it done.
Yeah, that
was all way short in the third period.
Yeah, they did.
And a lot of it is little things. It was like face-offs. battles in the corner. Like, you can pick on the defense, you can pick on the goaltending all you want, but if you don't win those little battles, they're going to show up real big time in the playoffs.
Yeah, there were moments for every goal, and thank
little
you for the call and comments,
Mike. Little things turned into
massive
things very quickly.
Yeah, like that first goal, if you want to go over the forensic details, Hyman had time to get that puck out on the PK, and he couldn't lift the puck up. That gets out, probably not in the back of the net. The second or third goal, Kapanen's on the wrong side of the puck battle. He's in the neutral zone for some reason, not in his own zone.
You know,
supporting.
I talked to Justin Williams to ask him about his success in Game 7s, and he said he wasn't afraid to try to make a great play at the right time, but he said, don't kid yourself, Jeff. Little things, getting pucks in, getting pucks out are mandatory. Because you never know, just like last night, when one of those stupid little things, I'm just going to be casual with this one, boom, it's in the back of your net. You can't be casual.
Well, and that's what kills Jake Gardner, is he has a casual way of playing the game. Yeah. He's confident. He's cocky at times. He goes for the high-risk play. And when it turns, it really turns. And last night, it was an avalanche.
And if you go to the other side and you pick out number 47 for the Bruins, do you know who that is?
Torrey Krug.
That's right. He's a skilled defenseman. He moves the puck. He runs the power play. But there's not a whole lot of casualness about him when it comes to defending, playing in his own end. He's, what, 5'8"?
Yeah, he's not a big guy, and he's a young guy. He's relatively young, too.
It's just there's a different approach to him. He understands there's an urgency, and he has a job to do as one of the leaders on the team.
But he's also sheltered, right? Like, Chara plays the big minutes. He's the second-pairing guy. Sometimes maybe a third-pairing
guy. I get it, but there's not a casualness. There's an urgency.
I agree with you.
There's an intensity. And if you don't have it, you get exposed.
I hear you. But again, they need to move these guys down the lineup. Like, that's what they need. Morgan Rielly is a legit top-four guy. The jury's out on how much you can commit to Gardner, Zaitsev. Ron Hainsey can't be your top pairing guy next year.
No way.
Absolutely can't happen. He's got to be on their third pairing. So that's what has to happen this offseason. We all know it, and if we know it, they know it. It's just a matter of how they go about it. 416-870-1050 on Twitter at HayesTSN. We'll sprinkle in calls and emails and tweets and texts throughout the afternoon. We're recapping the game and the season and looking ahead to the offseason. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up in about 15 minutes for his take on Game 7 and the season in general and what the Leafs have in store this upcoming offseason. Don't forget, Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or jump online at skipthedishes.com. 416-870-1050. Try to slide in another call this hour. Travis up in Newmarket. How you feeling, Travis?
Oh, not bad. How are you guys?
We're doing okay.
I just wanted to put a little bit of onus on the coaching staff. I know you got to know your personnel. I know the Toronto Leafs D isn't great, but at the same time, you can't be putting Gardner out there in crucial situations. You got to sit a guy down every once in a while. He should never be on the ice for a defensive zone faceoff. He should be the type of guy that they get the puck out, then he goes changes to get on the ice. I just feel like I've seen too many times this year where he'll be on in the last minute of a period. It's like he gets a free pass all the time. He makes a mistake, and they just keep putting him out to let him play it out. But in the playoffs, you can't do that because, like you did last night, it bit him in the butt.
Well, Travis, he's their second-best defenseman. He's relied on heavily. We talked about it earlier. He's a 25-minute, and then we talk about depth. If he's pushed down somewhere, I don't know where that is.
And who has to go up? Like, I think the Rielly injury last night forced him to play more minutes. It also forced Dermott to get into the game because he wasn't playing a lot early in that game. I don't think they had any intentions of playing Travis Dermott last night. I think he was going to basically sit, get a couple of shifts here or there. But they weren't. And based on the way Dermott played in Game 6, I can't blame them for that. Dermott's not ready to play 24 minutes in Game 7. Gardner wasn't either. But Dermott wasn't prior. You can't think, you know, it's easy to look back on it now. Oh, Dermott should have been getting those minutes, or they should have dressed Carrick or seven defensemen or something like that. That's not the way it works. They went down with the horses they went with all year, and Gardner was one of them. Hour two up next. Ray's coming up. We'll continue to get to your calls, emails, tweets, and text messages on the game, the season, what to expect coming up in the offseason. We'll get Ray in here. We'll get into the NFL draft, the Raptors win last night, TFC losing last night, the finale down at the Rogers Center between the Jays and the Sox. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.